Case of the morning is number 013678, the United States against Neely. Mr. Bendar.
Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the Court. My name is Jonas Bednarik, and I was appointed by the United States District Court for the Western District of Wisconsin to represent Mr. Neely at the district court level. The issue presented in the instant appeal is a relatively simple one, and that's whether two prior offenses should have properly been considered related offenses for sentencing purposes in computing the appropriate criminal history score for Mr. Neely. Mr. Neely asserts that these two prior convictions are related and thus should have only been assessed two criminal history points rather than the four criminal history points that were assessed to these two convictions. There are two reasons that Mr. Neely asserts for this proposition. First, that these prior sentences were part of one common scheme or plan, and secondly, that these matters were functionally consolidated at the trial level. In addressing the first argument, this court has said in United States versus Ali that if the commission of one crime entails the commission of another, then those crimes are properly deemed related for sentencing purposes. It's Mr. Neely's position that the crime of robbery entailed the crime of intimidation of the witness to that robbery, and thus for that reason should be deemed related.
But does intending to commit a robbery necessarily involve assaulting a witness to the crime? How, when he planned the robbery, did he even, A, know there would be a witness, or B, that, you know, he would assault the witness?
Your Honor, when Mr. Neely committed the robbery, no, he didn't intend at that point to commit this second offense. I think that during the commission of that robbery, since there was a witness, that then entailed the commission of the second offense. However, this court doesn't need to find this common scheme or plan in order to reverse and remand this case. We can also look to the issue of functional consolidation. And I think that this is an appropriate case for functional consolidation. There's a number of factors which would lead us to believe that these matters have been functionally consolidated. These crimes occurred in relatively close span, just a couple of 3 days, I think, separated the two crimes. Mr. Neely was sentenced on the same day by the same judge to one sentence. If we refer to page 6 and 7 of my appendix to my brief, we see that the case originated in Hennepin County, Minnesota. That court assigned, although it retained separate case numbers, it issued one order and had absolutely one file number for both of the matters. I assert to this court that that amounts to functional consolidation under United States versus Joseph, and that these matters should have properly been deemed related cases for sentencing purposes.
There was no transcript of the sentencing hearing, I take it, or we would have had it.
That's correct, Your Honor. I did not order the sentencing transcript. It was a juvenile disposition. Therefore, we have an order and a petition for delinquency. It was filed in March 30th, 1995. It was somewhat dated. And the fact that it was a juvenile matter, I wasn't able to obtain the transcripts for that.
Without the transcript, is there a way that we could truly say that it's clearly erroneous that the judge did not sentence the two convictions together for purely administrative convenience?
I believe so, yes, Your Honor. I mean, that is the appropriate standard of review, and I think when we look at all the facts together, if we flip the coin and look at the other side and say, would a judge at one sentencing hearing sentencing an individual on two separate crimes not consider one of the crimes when sentencing? I think the answer to that is of course not. That judge would clearly consider both crimes when he was handing down sentence in that matter. I think when we combine that with the fact that they occurred fairly close in time, we have one order and one file number, I think that provides a strong indication that these two matters were functionally consolidated. So I believe that it is clear error for the district court to not consider these two matters related cases and thus to bifurcate them and assess two criminal history points for each of these matters. So the answer to your question is yes, I think it is clearly erroneous. And I think that it's difficult for a defendant to make that record at the sentencing hearing. And I know that the court has placed the burden on the defendant to make that demonstration. But I think that the order coupled with the arguments presented at the district court level does speak for itself and satisfies that burden that the defendant needs to stand up to. And that burden is one that's properly placed on the defendant. I think he's met that burden in this case, and therefore I think that it is clear, plain error for Judge Shabazz to fail to recognize that. If there's no other questions from the court, I'll defer to my opposing counsel and readdress this matter momentarily. Thank you, Judge.
Thank you, Mr. Bendar. We'll hear now from Ms. Rumble.
May it please the court. Counsel, Rita Rumbelow, representing the United States. As Mr. Bidnarik stated, it is his burden to prove that these two 1995 offenses were functionally consolidated. We agree that there's no order of formal consolidation. So Judge Shabazz did not clearly err when determining that two criminal history points should be assessed to each of these 1995 convictions.
What do we mean when we say functionally consolidated? What's the meaning of that term?
This circuit defines functionally consolidated. It has two parts. First, the defendant has to show that on the record of the sentencing hearing that the sentencing judge considered them sufficiently related for consolidation, and it's conjunctive that he effectively entered one sentence. And it is the government's position that Mr. Neely has failed to satisfy that first part of the definition of functional consolidation to meet his burden. There is no showing on the record that the sentencing judge from 1995 considered these two cases related. And as Judge Shabazz noted at the sentencing hearing, and which also addresses the second prong, whether or not these two offenses were part of a common scheme or plan or whether or not they are related. They are two offenses that occurred 3 days apart. Two different juvenile victims were involved. And as
that definition kind of begs the question, doesn't it? The functionally consolidated means that the judge thought they could have been consolidated, but they weren't. Is that seems to me that's a pretty hard definition to follow.
Well, it is the definition that this court has set forth in Stahlbaum and other cases. Again, the defendant has to show that on the record at the sentencing hearing that the sentencing judge considered them sufficiently related for sentencing or for consolidation, and that it wasn't a joint sentencing for administrative ease. And that's what I think that it was in this case, absent a different showing by Mr. Neely.
He did. I mean, the judge used one file number. He only really recited one period of incarceration. That the child be committed to the care, custody, control of the superintendent of the Hennepin County School for a period of 16 months, period. He didn't say concurrent sentences, or substantiated 16 months on the first one, 16 months on the other to run concurrently, nothing like that. I mean, he's take care of these two things together. It's a package.
It does appear that way if you look at the order, Your Honor, but the order, which is appendix pages 6 and 7, says file number, case number. It is in the singular, but yet several case numbers are listed there, and that's not in the plural. Again, it is under the circuit, under case law of the circuit, it is Mr. Neely's burden to show that the sentencing judge considered them sufficiently related for consolidation.
What more could Mr. Neely have done?
He could have tried to obtain a transcript of the sentencing hearing,
I think he said there was none.
There's nothing in the record, Your Honor. When the pre-sentence investigation report was prepared in this case, paragraphs 35 and 36 indicated that these sentences were ordered to be served concurrent. Mr. Neely never objected to that characterization, and had he, perhaps there would have been additional digging back into the record from 1995, but there is nothing in the record.
You mean the PSR in this federal case?
Yes, the PSR in this federal case labeled these sentences as concurrent, and that labeling was never objected to by Mr. Neely. So all we have is this two-page order, and I just don't, I under the law of the circuit, that is not enough. These cases were not related, and Judge Shabazz did not clearly err in assessing two criminal history points to each of these 1995 convictions of Mr. Neely. I would like to point out that in this circuit's decision in Ali, which is cited in the government's brief, the court stated that we must keep in mind the purpose of the related test. It is to identify the less dangerous criminal. The criminal is not less dangerous because his crime is part of a spree. And Mr. Neely is definitely not one of those less dangerous criminals. His cases were not related. He committed two very violent acts 3 days apart with two juvenile victims. Does the court have any other questions? I respectfully request that you affirm the sentencing order of Judge Shabazz. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Rumbleau. Ben Dark?
Thank you, Your Honor. Very briefly, I would just like to respond to this notion that the defendant carries the burden of making this demonstration at the district court level. It's clear that he does carry this burden in this matter, but I think it's also clear that he's met the burden. Opposing counsel indicates that the order that the Hennepin County Court entered isn't sufficient to provide the basis to remand this case. I think that it is sufficient. It's identified as one order. We don't have separate orders. And again, the file number remains singular. There is one file number on this matter. And again, I would just like to point out that I think it's counterintuitive to think that a judge would sit and prescribe a sentence on two charges, but only hand sentence down on one. It's clear that...
Does functional consolidation really mean the judge treated these two episodes as one offense? Is that what we're talking about?
I believe so, yes. I believe the spirit behind it is that the judge looked at both episodes and handed down a sentence that provided punishment for both those episodes in conjunction. And rather than breaking these two episodes apart and handing down sentence at one point and another point, it's more appropriate, more for just administrative convenience, but also for the defendant himself to address both of these at one time because they're related. They deal with the very same subject matter. And therefore, it's appropriate to do it all at one time. And I think that, therefore, Mr. Neely has met his burden and made that demonstration that this is done more for the sake of administrative convenience, but because it makes sense to hand down one sentence to one defendant on these two charges because they're so integrally related. And therefore, I believe that Mr. Neely has met this burden. I believe that it's appropriate to remand this case back to the district court for resentencing. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bendar. Sir, you also served, I believe, by appointment of the court, and you have the deep thanks of the court for having taken the appointment and, frankly, done such a fine job for your client. We indeed our thanks to both counsel for their fine job this morning. The case will be taken under advisement.